read a portion in Luke chapter 22, it's interesting that each one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all give us a description of the Lord's table and how it was instituted. Particularly of interest is the Gospel of John, where there is no reference to it. We have in John Christ's prayer in the garden, and a lot of detail of what took place. I know there are a lot of people who say, well, now, wait a minute. There was that meal where Christ washed the disciples' feet. And so they confound that particular meal with the Lord's table, what he instituted that night. Won't get into too much of this, but in John 13, that would have been a meal that the Lord shared with his disciples earlier in the week, because it says now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world, that he sat and ate with them. Here, specifically, with regard to the Lord's table, was on the eve of Passover. And we read that then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover must be killed. Why is it that we have here in celebrating the Lord's table just these two elements, the bread, which is unleavened, and the wine representing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and not the foot washing? There's some congregations say, well, no, that ought to be part of it. Everybody needs to take off their shoes right now. The preacher will go around, kneel down, and they can wash everybody's feet or give you the water so you can wash your... And they've added to this very simple table, which the Lord celebrated with his disciples on the eve of his death. And that's why in Luke 22 we read that he sent Peter and John to go prepare Passover. He says that we may eat. And notice, even in this, it wasn't left up to them. As we saw earlier, every detail is significant. Here, the Spirit directed them to ask in verse 9. They said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare? Even they were sensing and knew that this Passover was to be different than all these other Passovers that had been celebrated to that point. And he said unto them, behold, when ye entered in the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Very specific. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall say unto the good man of the house. I dare say if the Lord called him the good man of the house. Again, where you see that word good, it means God. God's man of the house. I believe he was one of the Lord's, that Christ would pay the sin debt to redeem, opening up his house here. The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? It's interesting that in Jerusalem during this time, different people rented out their rooms, their upper rooms, for people to come and celebrate their Passover meal. But this specific one was reserved for the Lord himself. Says he shall show you a large upper room furnished. Have whole messages on that. A large upper room. Talk about the bounties of God in Christ. But what? Fully furnished. Nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it. He says, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, here on the eve of Christ's death, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him, and he said unto them, notice this, with desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This was the final one. All those other Passovers that took place down through those millenniums, now to this one. The Lord was here with his disciples. He said, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. What be fulfilled? The Passover. So here specifically, the kingdom of God is not talking about the sweet bye-bye, but that that kingdom would be now established in the fulfilling of all that the Passover represented in his death. So therefore he took the cup, it says, and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. Well, link that to what he just said, until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When did the kingdom of God come on earth? It's when Christ appeared, lived out his life, and laid down his life, and died. So that's what the fruit of the vine represents. He said he would not drink of it until it be fulfilled. He wouldn't drink of it again. After his resurrection, he ate and drank with his disciples. And then he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. They can understand this. Here was the Lord, not only with the bread, but with the cup. When he said, this is my body, it's not some mystical transforming of his body into the bread and the cup so that they were now eating Christ. He was there before. He's talking about what it represents. He says there, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Why is it called the New Testament? Well, it's because it's the fulfillment of the old. All the old was in type and picture and prophecy and promise. Now is the fulfillment. And so as we partake, that's really what we're doing. We're remembering. This do in remembrance of me, it says there. Can't remember someone you've never known. Sometimes we've had people say, remember so-and-so? You're like, I'm not sure I know them. But if they say, remember so-and-so, and the face lights up, and they're like, oh, yeah. You remember someone that you know. That's why this table is the Lord's table. And it's under the Lord. This due in remembrance of him. And so may our hearts be called to him as we partake. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that you would bless as we partake, remembering Christ's sufferings, the unleavened bread, a picture of his person without sin, and the cup representing his shed blood. All together, being a picture of our salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we do come.